But I feel like maybe a better word to use would be parts of ourselves that have been deprived of love or have been devoid of care. And so that part of us, which is usually the inner child, then has all these sort of tactics and behaviours that are used to be able to gain love. And these are the traits that I'm going to be talking about today. And I'll start, as I did on the last podcast, with the divine feminine. Ladies first. Or actually, it's not about ladies, it's about the feminine. So the feminine first. So let's begin with number one. So the first trait is overgiving. And this is giving to others to the point where we can completely neglect ourselves. And it really involves losing parts of ourselves, because we give to a point where we disrespect our own boundaries and we lose our personal boundaries. And it can be a very common trait in people that want love so badly, and they've been denied love maybe from young, or they've been taught that to gain love they need to be able to, they need to do something, you know, they need to give something, they need to prove something to be able to gain this love. And that's where this overgiving attitude can come from, and it can stick with you for your whole life if you're not aware of it. And so this is one of the wounded feminine traits, where we feel that we need to keep giving and overgive to gain someone's love and affection. And so when you're on this journey of exploring this side, if you are working with this trait and you can really see it deep within, starting to challenge that and starting to realise when you are burning yourself to the ground and when you're stepping out of alignment with yourself through overly giving to another. So number two, we'll go straight to number two now, is neediness. And neediness is sort of like a excessive dependency on someone else or another person, you know, other people, for a sense of validation or love. And it's quite a intense, suffocating, repulsive energy. I know that when I sense of another person there's this real neediness for my attention or my validation, the natural thing to do is want to run a mile the other way. And so in relationships we need to also see that neediness is sort of like this one side of this, on the polarity, you know, spectrum. It's an energy that is very repulsive to someone else, because in fact you're sort of, you're energetically telling that other person that you are not enough and that you need something from them to feel full. And the most unattractive thing is that energy of lack of self-worth. The most attractive thing, though, is when you can really feel from someone that they truly do love themselves. And you know, this isn't in an inflated sense of self. This is a true, just a peaceful feeling of I'm very content, and I accept who I am, and I don't need to grasp onto anything to gain something. And number three is manipulation. And this is a really big one that I feel quite strongly about, because it's being used a lot, this trait. People are so unaware of when manipulation is taking place. And we've all been manipulative at some points in our lives. And it's really important to start to bring light to that and take ownership of that trait. So a little bit about manipulation. It's when we sort of use other people's emotions to control situations. And we use our own emotions. We start to play on that to manipulate other people and to try to change and force other people to do what we want them to do. And it's a forcing. It's not a natural flow. It's, I am not good and I need this outcome to happen because I want control. So I'm going to play every game to try and make that happen, and I need it to happen. Instead of actually directing, you know, directly communicating with that other person, whoever it is, your friend, your partner, your work colleague, and just stating your needs flat out. And that's a much better way of getting what you want done, or finding some sort of middle ground by communicating in a healthy, direct way. And energetically as well, that's a lot cleaner and a lot better. So when we're starting to work on this, you know, this energy of how can we start to heal those wounded traits, we can start to think, okay, I'm going to communicate a little bit better, and I'm going to learn to be okay with sometimes not getting my own way, and realizing that sometimes not getting my own way is actually what's needed here for my own growth. And can I let go? Can I choose to trust and realize that actually sometimes I need to, or we need to, start to think about other people and their emotions and what they want and need, not just about us. So moving forward, let's go to number four of our wounded feminine traits, and that's insecurity. And I've definitely felt insecure, and I've definitely had many experiences with this this trait for many, many years. And it's a feeling of inadequacy, or a real unworthiness to receive love or attention. And it's wanting to hide yourself, hide parts of yourself, because maybe you think you're too much, or you're scared of being judged, you're scared of being hurt. So you sort of close off parts of yourself. And this is a difficult one, because it's quite sad, because you can't feel comfortable in your own being and your own skin. And it means that you're not ever truly being yourself or accepting yourself for all of your different quirks. And part of this journey to self-love is starting to come from insecurity to security. And that is only through your own love and your own inner healing that you can become secure. So number five is being overly passive. And this is really lacking assertiveness and allowing others to take advantage of you, or dictate your life. And I've met a few people, quite a few people who have had this energy, and I've definitely experienced it at a couple of points in my life where I've been with a partner who's been very, very overly controlling. And they've been so controlling that I've become overly passive, and I've sort of just done everything that they've said. And you lose your backbone, and it can be a difficult one, regaining that strength to be able to speak up for yourself and realise when you're doing something that is out of alignment with what you truly want to do, when you're being taken advantage of, and you're being swung around like a leaf. So really being able to find your voice and to find that inner power to be able to assert yourself in a healthy way and speak your truth is really important here. So moving forward, we go to number 6 of our wounded feminine traits, and that is victimhood. It's consistently viewing yourself as powerless and having this this constant dialogue with yourself and with others that you are a certain way that is less, and you are a martyr, and you are this or that. You're always constantly, oh, poor me, you know, I've been hurt by this person, and this has happened to me in my life. And of course, we all have moments where we feel sorry for ourselves and we feel a victim. But to stay in this energy for too long keeps us so stuck and so small that we really lose our power. And we stay in this little box, and it's very hard to move away from that, because we're so attached to our sense of self as this person who's been wounded and who's been hurt. So in order for us to have a different reality, we have to choose a different way of seeing ourselves. And we've got to drop the story sometimes, which can be very difficult to hear. And I know I've had to do this for myself, and it's been painful. But sometimes we do need that sort of more harsh love. And if it wasn't for that harsh, sometimes that slightly harsher love from partners, I may have stayed in this box of being a victim. And unfortunately, you know, for the people that stay there, you limit how much love and how much opportunities you can experience. So working with that is important. Number 7 is being emotionally chaotic. And I think a lot of people can be very scared or fearful when someone embodies a sort of energy which is very unstable. And it's the inability really to be able to emotionally regulate. And it really leads to sort of a very dramatic reality where everything becomes like one big TV series, dramatic TV series, where there's always something happening, and you know, from one minute to the next there's a change in your energy. One minute you're happy, one minute you're sad, one minute you're laughing, one minute you're crying, one minute this person has said this to you. And there's always some drama going on. There's always something. And it can be very overwhelming for other people to deal with that sort of emotional roller coaster and that intensity of someone else's emotions. And it's very important to know that it's perfectly healthy and beautiful to be an emotional being. We are all, you know, emotional beings, and to be able to express emotions in a healthy way and to be open with our emotions is important. But when it becomes excessive and uncontrollable, this is when I think we all have to start to look at why. Is there something within that is, you know, completely traumatized and has gone into this state of overwhelm? Is there nervous system regulation issues happening? Is there hormonal issues happening? Is there this repression of something that is just coming up to the surface and it's creating this chaos? So whatever it is, maybe working with a counsellor or working, doing some sort of talking therapy or body therapy or relaxation practice or meditating, something like that will really help to balance, first of all, and move and calm this energy. And to do it very, very regularly, to make it part of your daily practice or your weekly routine, will be very important here. Number 8 is a lack of self-worth. Constantly seeking external validation in order to feel good about yourself. And this again is this energy of lack. It's, I don't like who I am. I don't like how I look like. I don't like my personality. Everyone doesn't like me, so I have to prove that I'm enough. And it was sort of similar to this neediness. And they all go hand in hand. When we have a lack of self-worth, we attract people who will also prey on that. We attract people who are narcissistic, and we are always searching for that worth from the external world, from other people, from other things, from our work, from our partners, from our friends. And it is never enough. And sometimes life gives us these lessons where people let us down and we get even more hurt and even more let down. Because really what life is doing is pushing its finger back at you and it's saying, look at yourself. The work is actually to come back to yourself and find that sense of fullness from within. And it can be a long, long road. But it's really important that we go there and we learn to be... we learn to really love all parts of ourselves. And... drop the perfectionism and drop this idea of what it is to be worthy and what it is to be enough, and start to really see ourselves for who we are, and that is perfectly imperfect. Start to look at what traits you do have that are beautiful and that are really important. You know, everyone's got different things that are needed in this world. Learning to be your own best friend. Number 9 in the wounded feminine traits is martyrdom. Being a martyr. And I have definitely met a few people who have this trait. And it's really quite... it's sad, it's upsetting, because what I see is someone who just completely sacrifices themselves for others, for people that they feel they love, or could even be strangers. they neglect themselves, they run away from themselves, they deny themselves of joy. And so much of the time, often they feel a lot of resentment actually for doing this. And it's addictive, this feeling of needing to abandon oneself in order to be the good boy or the good girl. And it causes misery. It causes an imbalance. And actually, when we're doing this, when people do this behaviour, it's really important to question why, and is this really coming from love? Or is it coming from the opposite, this fear of wanting to prove oneself or wanting to fit this box of being good, when actually maybe you don't really want to do it? So questioning things without being too serious about it is actually a really good way to start this journey of shifting this and playing around. Maybe one day trying to change that behaviour and challenge it. And I know sometimes changing can take way more than one day, but to challenge that behaviour very slowly and very lovingly. And here we come to the 10th feminine, wounded feminine trait, and that is codependency. And I was codependent for many, many years of my life. I was in a very long relationship, and I realised when we split up after a good 9-10 years, God, like, I didn't even realise how codependent I was. And I completely lost myself. I completely crumbled, because what codependency is losing yourself to someone else. Being so caught up and immersed and, in inverted commas, in love with another. It's almost like, you know, you need another. You're entwined with another so deeply that you are unable to function independently of that. And so that is unhealthy. That's something, you know, we need to work through. And usually for me, this happened quite naturally. I felt the universe really pushing me to move away from that relationship that was actually very unhealthy. And as much as it felt, you know, beautiful, and I'm sure it was, it had a lot of love, it only served me to a certain point in my life. And then I needed to start to step forward and learn to hold myself, and learn to walk on my own 2 feet. So that's the tenth trait of the wounded feminine. And so I hope that really helped you just to gain a little bit more clarity on what it is when we are experiencing wounded feminine energy, and maybe how to work with it and shift that in order to come back into a more balanced, healthy state. So we're going to go straight into the 10 wounded masculine traits. And as I said in the beginning, these are sort of, they're not related to gender. We can all dip in and out of wounded masculine and wounded feminine. Really, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, what gender you are, it's just energy. And so these terms, masculine and feminine, they're just ways of us being able to mentally understand the energies without it becoming too overwhelming, and to sort of break it down a little bit. So let's go straight into number one of wounded masculine. The first one is domination. Domination! this needing to control others, have power over others, or have power over a situation, to feel powerful and to feel secure. And so it usually comes from a place of not feeling secure and not feeling powerful, this need to dominate a situation or another person. And we see it a lot in politicians and, you know, top people that want to have all the power. And again, if you're someone who's working with this, it's important to question where is this coming from? This need to have control over other people. And there is healthy domination. I know a lot of people, they enjoy when their partner is a little bit more on the dominant side, but then there's this other side of that when it becomes excessive and when it becomes unhealthy. It can really be a intimacy killer, and it can cause a lot of wounding and upset in a relationship, when there's just no room for another person's view or another person's energy, because with domination, it's sort of just about me, my eye. I need to completely own this, control this, you know, to feel enough. And a relationship is about two. It's not about me, my eye. It's about us. It's about how can we work through this? How can we solve this? Let me think about you as well, and let me try to include you into this so we can move through it together. Number two is aggression. Being overly aggressive and resorting to anger or violence even as a means to solve a problem, or if there's, you know, a heavy emotion, something that's come up and you're unable to express it properly, there's this aggressive nature that comes out. And I don't know, it's funny, when I think about aggression, I really think of a child who is having a tantrum, and who just, you know, this childlike state where you're just unable to regulate your emotions, and there's this excessive fiery nature that comes out of you that is uncontrollable and frightening and scary. And again, it's not a nice thing to experience when you're in a relationship and a partner is overly aggressive. It can make someone feel very very scared to be able to be themselves, if it's something that is very a common trait and something that comes up a lot, because we don't want our partners to be aggressive towards us. There's a difference between having, sometimes being angry with our partners and then being emotionally or physically violent or aggressive, like I said. So it's very important to deal with that, to deal with that energy, to deal with that excessive anger, to get to the very root of where that came from, and to start to take ownership of that and bring more love into that situation to diffuse it. So let's go to number three. Number three of wounded masculine traits is arrogance. Being arrogant is like having this inflated sense of your self-importance and your self-worth. And it's so inflated that you almost dismiss what anyone else thinks or feels, and you dismiss the input of other people. And like, just like domination, it's sort of, there's only room for one here. Um, you start to use this sort of behavior, and you start to embody this sort of trait when there's a lot of lack of self confidence, and you need to have that ego inflated constantly to be able to feel energized and powerful. So sometimes just that alone, just realizing that alone, can actually be incredible, and it can really help you shift. Just understanding why it is that you need to have your ego inflated so much. For others, maybe it's not so simple, and it takes a lot more deeper work. But to be able to communicate to a partner or a friend, or, you know, someone, when you do feel like there's a lot of arrogance, and to help them be able to look at their own behaviour, as uncomfortable as it is, could really help them. Number four is emotional suppression. And in general, I think maybe more men in general have a harder time expressing emotions. But that's not to say that women don't as well. It's not, you know, black and white. It's something that happens, I feel, when there's just been such a build-up of trauma and overwhelm in someone's life. And if someone's not well equipped to deal with something very intense, then it becomes bottled up inside, because it's the easiest thing to do, just to push it down and pretend it's not there. But this refusing to feel and express emotions can have such a deeper negative effect on your life, as well as your relationships. Because we need to be able to move through emotions in real time, or, you know, somewhere near to real time, if we're really wanting to have a healthy relationship. Because the more we bottle up and repress, you know, there's more shadow that's going to be created. There's more numbing that's going to happen. There's more that we're not going to be able to move through. And the only way to move through it is to be able to talk about it, and to be able to shift it through open, honest conversation, loving conversation. And that requires a lot of emotional intelligence and being able to be vulnerable. So just starting to open up, you know, in little ways to people that you feel comfortable with is going to be an important one here. Talking to a therapist, doing some talking therapies, doing some body therapies, trying to get that emotion to bring it up to the surface and to start to shift it and release it and move it will be really important here. So let's go on to number five, and that is workaholism. So it's being a workaholic, being someone who just is over-identifying with work and doing and achieving at the expense of your relationships, so your love life, your romantic relationships, your family life, your personal well-being even. And it's important to kind of realise, even though I'm sort of stating the obvious here, that when you have any relationship, there needs to be space and energy for that relationship. So we need to make the space, but also we need to be able to have enough energy to put into that, to love and nurture that relationship. So when we are overworking, usually we don't have enough space and energy for anything else if we're overdoing something. And this could be any part of our life that we're putting too much energy into. And so it's really about finding balance here of why is there this need to overwork? And how can I start to balance this out so I can actually put a little bit more of my energy into other things? Number six is being competitive. Competitive at all costs, and being so obsessed with being the best or with winning that it really does hurt other people. And sometimes it can be quite funny to be a little bit competitive. Sometimes it can be quite playful. But these are things when they turn into obsessions, when it turns into an excess, it can be a really big wedge that comes in the way of connecting with others, because it's not a playful energy when you become too serious and too competitive. And then you don't give other people the chance to also be the best and win. And you don't want to pedestal other people. So that is number five. Let's move forward. Sorry, that was number six. So we'll move forward to number seven. Number seven is dismissiveness. And I've experienced this before with a partner who's been very dismissive, and they've been more on the avoidant nature. And it's very painful when someone becomes dismissive of what you are experiencing, and they kind of invalidate your feelings and your needs. And it's almost like they're saying what you're feeling and experiencing isn't important. And this definitely kills relationships. It definitely puts a big wedge in the way in which we connect, because in order to have any healthy, thriving relationship, we need to feel seen and heard and appreciated and loved. And it doesn't mean we're always going to agree with our partner, but it's about giving space for someone else's opinion and being able to see it and hold it in the container of love, and then together moving through it in a safe and loving way. And so dismissiveness can be also this fear of feelings as well. This inability to be able to actually feel difficult emotions. So the easier thing to do is to just dismiss and to walk away or to run away and to make someone feel like they're overreacting. So really understanding when you are doing this, or if you don't, or if a partner's, you know, acting in a dismissive way, and you've got a problem with it, maybe trying to lovingly be able to point them out and say, look, this is actually becoming something that's creating a big wedge, and I would really love it if you could start to listen to me and to speak in a way that's, or communicate in a way that's healthier. Number 8 is abusiveness. And abuse comes in so many forms. We've got emotional abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, and it's horrible. It's not a very nice energy or experience to have to go through, and it's traumatic to go through, and it can leave a big wound in another person when someone's been a victim of abuse. And we can be the abusers. We can also be the ones that are either, you know, intentionally or unintentionally being abusive to someone else. And this can come from a very deep-seated trauma. It can come from issues that we haven't addressed, anger, deep-seated anger. It could come from, you know, so many things. This need to have power. And what abusiveness really is, it's sort of using tactics such as intimidation, control, or violence to maintain this power over other people. Because ultimately, you don't feel powerful and you don't feel good about yourself. So this is a way to actually gain that power. So this is a very difficult one, actually, because a lot of the people that are very abusive to the point where it's becoming a big, big problem and it's causing a lot of pain for others may not be the sort of people that would want to do this work. It's quite deep and it can become quite stuck energy. So it's very important that you know, you deal with this sort of behaviour in a way that really addresses the root. And something like psychotherapy, some sort of talking therapy, yoga, spiritual practices to try and really get to the real core of why someone wants to hurt another, to gain something for themselves that will always be temporary and something that actually isn't real, because it's always coming from outside of themselves. Number 9 of our wounded masculine traits is this rigid thinking, this rigid way of thinking, which is, it's the opposite of this feminine quality, which is being flexible and fluid. And this is the unwillingness to be flexible, this unwillingness to even consider something outside of the box that you've created. And even, like, you know, being able to think of or include, like, other people's perspectives, want to understand other people's ways of thinking. And so it's rather black and white. And you know, just for ourselves, it's really nice sometimes to think outside the box and to understand that each and every one of us have our own unique, beautiful ways of thinking and relating and living and seeing the world. And the more that we can learn from others and take on other people's insights, this is how we also grow and learn and actually have more rich, fulfilling lives and relationships. Because the truth is, we don't know it all. And to have that kind of humbleness to be able to be open to explore a different way of doing things is very, it's very attractive in another person, and it keeps things fresh, it keeps life fun, it keeps us young. And so that's a very important thing when we want to change our realities. We've got to change the way that we're thinking first and foremost. And so flexibility is very, very important here. And so number 10 is this fear of intimacy. And a fear of intimacy can come from a fear of love. It can come from very deep rooted trauma. And it can sort of, you can see it a lot in people that have got more of an avoidant or fearful avoidant attachment style, where something has happened very early on in life, or one, maybe a first relationship or something, or as a baby even, and someone has abandoned them. Usually we see it with primary caregivers. There's been a deep wound where the baby has been abandoned by, you know, from a caregiver, or maybe you've been abandoned in a relationship, and so your coping mechanism is to just completely close off and avoid close connections and avoid vulnerability. And it's a self-protective mechanism. But this fear of intimacy really stops us from having beautiful connection and being able to experience love. And so usually these sorts of people that have this deep fear and avoidant attitude often become very emotionally distant, and they often isolate themselves. And when this becomes so bad to the point where we can't actually have relationship, we really want it, but we can't have deep, meaningful sexual relationships because of this fear this emotional depth that we can get from relationships as well. So we can have this beautiful romance, but we can also have this real depth of emotion. We never really get to experience that because we've closed off to it, and we've learned to run 1,000 miles in the other way. And so this can be really sad, because a lot of the time these avoidant types of people, I don't like to say types of people because I believe it's just a behaviour and we can change. I believe that, you know, there's a sadness deep down, because I think everyone wants to experience that connection and love. But unfortunately, the fear of intimacy and the fear of opening up one's heart is stronger than the need for love and connection. So again, working with a talking therapist, doing body work, doing anything, you know, any of these sorts of healing modalities, to try and really get to the root is extremely important here. And so it's really this work that has helped me tremendously, and that's helped many people I know, to better understand really themselves, and to bring more light to the darkness, to parts of ourselves that have been unloved, parts of ourselves that have been hurt, and that have just, you know, found these ways of learning to cope and protect. And so this really, it's these, working with these feminine and masculine energies and bringing them back into their healthy states, it's a long road, and it's a beautiful journey really, when we learn to let go and to just really allow ourselves to play around with them and to see them in the lens of love, to see them with compassion. These parts of ourselves are like little children that just have not been given the love that they've needed, and they've learned to protect themselves. So, you know, these healthy traits, you know, they reflect balance and empowerment and harmony, while the wounded traits, they really arise from pain and insecurity and unresolved trauma. So it's really important that we try to strive for this balance between the healthy feminine and the healthy masculine qualities. And when we do work through the more wounded traits, to do so with lots of love, lots of compassion, and even a playfulness, where we actually sort of we move through it in a very light-hearted way. And that definitely makes this journey a hell of a lot easier. So I hope that you have enjoyed this podcast and just this little snippet, this little, you know, few nuggets of what wounded masculine and wounded feminine energy are and how to work with it, how to move through it. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope that it can lead to tremendous personal growth and healthier relationships. I'm sending you so much love. Take care and see you on the next podcast.